Well, welcome to the XR Industry Leaders Podcast, where we sit down with pioneers in the XR space. I'm your host, Brad Scoggin, CEO and co-founder of Arbor XR, along with my co-host, Will Stackable, who is also a co-founder and our CMO. And today we're excited to sit down with Andrew Seleznov. Andrew is the head of AR production at Snap's Arcadia Innovation AR Studio for Branded Experience. Andrew leads a team of XR professionals that design and deliver XR experiences for companies like L'Oreal, Coca-Cola, Nike, Disney. Andrew, it's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to sit and to have a meaningful conversation with you. I'm super excited and thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've been at Snap for 8 years. So why don't we start with you sharing a little bit about what you do in your current role and how you got into AR at Snap?
Oh, that's a great question. So I remember it was 2016 and I was in between switching the different jobs. I was doing some random, not AR related work at all. So my first official job was I was a manager, customer manager at one auto service. And I felt that I need to make some changes in my life, and I was trying to understand, what's the future of this world? Where are we going? What are we gonna do? And I was trying to figure out. I was talking to all my friends, who were busy in tech already, and some software engineers. They were saying, oh yeah, that's cool, but you have to learn a couple of years, to get this job. Then I talked to designers, and they said, yeah, it's pretty easy to get into this job. So and I decided, okay. So I will stick around. I will look what is on the market, and then I saw the video on YouTube, which is called Hyperreality. It was posted on YouTube by Keiichi Matsuda, and this was just a mess of AR around you. So highly encourage you to go and check this out. So, and I was really inspired by this video, and I decided, okay, so this is something.
Hey, Andrew, what year? Do you remember what year that was?
It was 2016. Yeah. So that video, So I saw that video, and literally, I decided I need to join AR industry no matter what, and I have no idea what the magic happened. But I was living in Ukraine at that moment, and there was a startup which called Luxury, and they invented the face tracking technology, and Snap acquired this startup, and they were hiring aggressively. So at that moment, and I was lucky to be in the list, and I joined Snapchat as a lens production manager, and it was such a luck for me that the first company I joined, PR related company, was Snapchat. Yeah, I'm still around, really excited about what is going on, and even more excited about things that we'll see in the future.
Yeah, that's cool. I actually had a very similar experience in 2016 at Will's house. So I'm from Oklahoma. Will was living in Oklahoma. I had moved to California in 2016, summer of 2016, to start another business, and went back to Oklahoma to raise money for that business. And Will said, hey, you've got to come try out VR. And I went to his house, put on a headset, and it was Zombie Training Simulator. So it wasn't probably even nearly as good as what you saw in the YouTube video, but I had the exact same reaction. I left Will's house and I immediately called him and said, hey, whatever else, we have to stop what we're doing and do this. Forget everything else. We've got to get into VR. So it's cool. It's a powerful experience, I think, that first time. I think a lot of people had something similar, and now here we are 8 years later still.
And a lot of people still haven't had that first experience.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Worth remembering. For us, it feels like forever ago, but...
That's a great point. And when you do have that experience, it's very impactful.
In my opinion, this is it's always one moment, when you realize, okay, either I go or not there. So, and for me, that video probably was the biggest inspiration in my life. And I need to give a chance to this industry. And I decided to stick maybe 12 months, around, and to understand if it's something really interesting for me, then I will keep going. But if not, I will try to make a pivot in my career. But I'm so happy that it was that exciting that it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, since you've been, you know, working at Snap for a while, I know you've spearheaded some pretty big projects with brands, like we said in the opening, with L'Oreal, Nike, et cetera. Can you tell us about a few of those, maybe the impact?
Yeah, absolutely. So Arcadia is like 3 years old at this moment. And usually we try to focus like from 5 to 8, maybe, partnerships through the year, which is opposite to the work that I was doing like first 6 years at Snapchat, because at that moment we were focused like on like sponsored lenses, which were pretty simple, and everyone was like, everyone wanted them so bad. And at some point, the team was producing up to 150 lenses per month. And it was like so much work, you know, like, and we were, at some point we realized, okay, so we know how to do like a simple stuff and like medium complexity stuff. Let's try to think about like really complex projects. And this is how Arcadia, I think, appeared in all our minds. And right now, yeah, we try to have like a really personalized approach, really personalized and custom workflow with every single partner, so we can deliver value to their businesses, not just like build something for fun and then, okay, we've got some PR and that's it. So we try to be focused, first of all, on the technology first versus content. And then we also try to find a way how we can add that value to their business. And some of the projects that I would love maybe to highlight is, I really like the partnership with Live Nation. This is the company which runs a bunch of festivals worldwide. And so we get together at some point in 2022, and we just started thinking about like, well, how can we reimagine the festival experience at this point? And one challenge was we noticed that how difficult it is for people to navigate large festival grounds and also like find their friends in the crowd. And we decided let's try to solve this with AR. And our solution was AR map, that it is a real-time interactive AR map that provides users with all the needed information, stages, lineups, amenities, locations, and even like uses GPS to find their friends and crowd. And we rolled out this to three major festivals in 2022. It was ADC, which is happening in Vegas. It was Lollapalooza, Chicago, and ACL, Texas. Yeah, ACL. And we've picked like three different festivals. They are completely different. So, for example, ADC is like a night show, you know, like electronic music. Lollapalooza is like family style, like ACL is a certain way to think about the festivals. We wanted like to have different audiences interacting with our experience to get their feedback. And we realized that it works. Yeah, of course, it needs some improvements. It needs some pivots, maybe in some features. Maybe UI is a little bit complicated. So we were working on this. And on the following year, we were able to cover all up to 20 festivals worldwide, which Live Nation handled. Yeah, we actually prepared a template which was accessible for third parties, and we covered another three festivals in 2023, and 13 or 17 festivals were covered by third parties. This is how we scaled it. Yeah.
What was the feedback from users, and are there any stats or anything else you could share to kind of help us understand how it was being used or the scale of it or anything?
So the feedback actually was really good. And we noticed that lots of people, first of all, almost every single festival that we were producing experiences for, we were on the ground. And so there was like a marketing component as well. So there were signs, like, you know, snap codes. People were aware, And this experience was available like 1 week prior to the event. So like people can build their own schedule, like what performances they want to see. So it was a pretty cool feature in this experience. And yeah, we were trying to walk around to see how people use experience. Lots of people were still relying on PDF maps, you know, like, and we were approaching them, hey guys, like, check out this application. And lots of people were pretty impressed with this. And again, there was some, of course, like connectivity issues, because like when a couple of 100,000 people getting together, it's usually the networks gets really busy. But anyway, there is room. Of course, there is room to improve, and we'll be moving forward.
What, any lessons learned now that you have that kind of behind you, if you were going to do it again, or even for companies that are looking to implement AR in a live environment, what are some of the things that you learned?
The things that we learned, do not overcomplicate experience. So one step at a time. So at some point we were, oh yeah, let's do some creative expression component. Let's do this feature, that feature. Let's drop the totem for your friends. And you know, like it was a little bit overwhelming. And we realized, okay, that we are sitting and brainstorming about this experience right now in the room, like where nothing's happening around. And we're trying, oh, that it would be great to have this and that feature. But when people actually on the ground, they don't have time. They want like to see performances. They want to see their favorite assets, their celebrities, and they don't want to spend like 20 minutes in this application. So we realized, okay, so the sessions should be like approximately 60 seconds max. And what can we do to deliver the most impactful things in this experience through these 60 seconds? So this is the things that we were figuring out, like from experience to experience, and doing it better and better.
Talk a little bit about Coca-Cola. What does it mean, the first AR vending machine?
Yeah, that's a cool one as well. So Coca-Cola approached us like to think about like how the vending machine could look like in the future. And I mean, like, you know, it's on the surface, so you can go to YouTube right now or just Google, and you'll see a bunch of like different vending machines with screen integrated and bunch of experiences there. But we were thinking about like, okay, what the main feature can what the main challenge we can solve with in this case with AR. And we realized that accessibility probably is one of the coolest things that we can use. So we decided to build experience, and specifically we were this year we were building these vending machines for Olympic Games, and two vending machines were set in Paris, one at Coca-Cola Food Festival. This is like a food, huge area with a bunch of food vendors. And another one was at Olympic Village itself. So, and because the not only Olympic Games happened this year, but also Paralympic Games. So we had this challenge, okay, how to make this accessible for every single athlete, not like only those who can tap and do whatever we want in front of this machine. And yeah, so that was our like North Star idea to make it work for everyone. And hopefully we did this.
And if anybody's listening, I mean, you can go check it out on YouTube. It's pretty cool. But it wasn't just a small impact. And the stat I saw was something like 40 million plus media impressions. Now it's Coca-Cola, so that helps. But I'm curious, when you think about the scope of AR use cases right now, we could talk about kind of the overlay to help people navigate an event or a conference. We can talk about the marketing impact of something like what Coca-Cola did. What's your feel just on how far along we are? I mean, does it still feel at this point we're just testing and trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work? Or would you say that you've identified, the Snap team has identified some use cases that really feel like they are going to have a big impact in the near future?
I feel both, actually. I feel that 100% we are trying to figure out, and I mean, like, we barely scratched the surface. Absolutely. That's why I feel that there is no competitiveness in this area right now, just because, like, so much work. So, like, go and do whatever you want. So, like, just you can only imagine. And but at the same time, so yeah, we try to invest a lot of our resources and time into, like, trying to understand, identify the right use cases, how we can approach them. And some of the things that I can mention, I feel like that this we rolled out Jumbotron CR. So happens on the SoFi stadiums and all other stadiums around the world. This is, for me, it was like pretty interesting use case, you know, like what's the future of next KISSCOM? So AR can be this future for sure. And we see a great response from the people and from the businesses who owns, like, the stadiums and, like, these venues. And for me, this is one of the examples how AR can be useful, can bring fun, can bring a lot of joy to, like, some events that are happening.
I have to ask then, you know, you're not that you're representing Snap, but what was your personal take on Meta's new prototype, the Orion? I know they're not available for developers or anything, but maybe riff on that a little bit. And then I'd also love to hear, I haven't had a chance to try out Snap's new spectacles, but I'm sure you have. Curious how you'd compare and what your take is.
Yeah, great question. So my biggest takeaway from the Meta's conference and the Meta's presentation is that I'm so happy that this is happening in general. At some point I felt like, oh, maybe AR is getting down, so I don't feel like that lots of people are talking about AR. I feel like that businesses still don't move the AR budgets, like, into the, like, solid budgets. They still keep this as, like, experimental investments and experimental advertisement. And I went to AWE this year in Long Island, at Long Beach in LA. And with the goal, like, just to check the industry, you know, like, are people still curious about AR? And I was, like, blown away how many people, teams, developers, and creators are still around and still try to build something new, still try to find out new use cases. And it was like a moment that when I was, okay, so it's not that bad, so all good, we are on the right track. And then, like, all this, like, Snap released their next generation spectacles, Meta announced their own. So, and I was, okay, cool. So this is a new wave, and we keep going. I cannot compare the Meta prototype with spectacles at this moment, just because, you know, like, it's still prototype. We have, like, a product that we can ship. You can put your heads on it. You can try to build with this device already. Meta is still, like, this is the future, bright, really ambitious future, and I'm so waiting, like, for them to release something.
Could you just give us the very quick, like, 30 seconds, what is the new Snap AR spectacles, if you haven't had a chance to check them out?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a completely standalone device that doesn't have any, like, cores or external batteries or external computing. This is all happening in the device that on your face. It has a bunch of interesting features, like a really cool hand track, in my opinion, really great field of view. I wish it could be better, but still, this is something that we already can start using, you know, like, and start building with. And the capabilities of this device is pretty promising. So again, this is we see, like, a dev kit right now. I look at these things as a perspective of the technology and the industry, not like the state of itself, like, for today.
I've got a twofer for you. I know you see opportunity in enterprise and education. So one question is, have any of the projects that you've done so far kind of broached that space at all? And then two, how do you think about Spectacle versus, say, like Magic Leap or RealWear or Vuzix, who are definitely designed more for the enterprise space?
It's hard for me to compare because I wouldn't say that I'm like was really busy in education area, you know, like with this type of experiences. And again, so it seems like that I've been touching and like working with Spectacles like all 8 years, but no, it's like still like even inside the company, it's like a huge like top secret, like people working on this, you know, like, and usually we got full access pretty much at the same time when everyone got this access. And so, but definitely like there is three directions for three major directions for us in terms of AR development is work, education, and entertainment. At Arcadia specifically, I think that we contribute more to entertainment goal than education or work. But again, so this is, I feel like that this can change like next year and the following years.
Is there anything that specifically excites you about, you know, your team's work and how it could be bridged more towards training or education in general?
I feel like that when I hear education related to ER, I feel like that we, first of all, we need to educate people how to interact with ER first. And then, because I don't feel that we have enough forces right now to understand all these cases and to realize what we need to do. So again, because like this is not something people got used to. So even like taking the some of the Arcadia projects, one of the things that I've learned going through those projects that sometimes, so we were trying to launch this really complicated experiences in carousel, you know, where people do not expect like something like utilities, AR utilities. They want like to see bunny ears, dog ears there. They want to have some fun. They want to kill like a couple of minutes while they're waiting for Subway. And it is right now is the moment when we need to explain the difference between AR experiences. And I feel that we've got enough types of experiences that we can break them down already into different buckets. And we don't do this at this moment. And we should try to do that. I mean, like the whole industry, not like on Snapchat or Arcadia itself. We should need to bring this to users that there is like fun experiences, there is utilities, there is educational stuff, there is like stuff that can help you work. So we need to sit together. That's why I'm really happy that I have this opportunity to sit with you and talk about this, because I feel like no one talks about this loud enough.
It's fun to talk to you because so many, you know, of our customers and the companies that we work with a number of Fortune 500s, and often, VR training is the center and the core of it. But just as you're talking, the thought I had is it's a good reminder just that it should be fun. This is a new technology. It can be playful. I think Snap does a great job with that. And even training doesn't have to be boring. It can be. And if you make it fun, it's going to be more engaging, entertaining. So I'm excited, to see what your team can do as we go forward. I'm curious, looking into the future, beyond what your team is working on, but you seem like a true AR diehard, a true fan. What are you excited about over the next 10 years? And I know this is the perennial question, but it always feels like we're 10 years away from the thing arriving. We actually now have really solid AR glasses that are on the market that are available. So we're getting closer, but I wear glasses. I often think, what would it take for me to switch to some kind of a, you know, always on sort of subtle overlay that kind of adds information into my world? And would I actually do that? But it does feel like we're still a ways off, even though I've tried the Ray-Ban glasses and yeah, they're fine. But what do you see over the next 10 years? And you could take this from a hardware angle or just more generally, how you see augmented reality impacting and changing our daily experience.
Great one. To be honest, my thoughts go like way more away from 10 years, because I feel like a huge potential in narrow link type of devices. So I'm already trying to think about, okay, what type of experiences we can have there, and what can we build there. But it's probably like maybe 20 years away from today. But this distracts me from the state of VR today and like the state of VR in 10 years? Absolutely no, because I feel that this is the path to that state of things. So we won't be able to deliver a quality experiences for that type of devices if we don't figure out like how to make it with AR wearables and like our smartphones in general. So that's why I've got an idea, which probably I don't need to share because I want to keep it with me. But anyway, if someone will help me to execute this in 20 years, would be great. So I was dreaming about like my personal soundtrack for my life. You know, like I want to have a device that can track the whole context of what is going on around me, understanding and analyzing my maybe feelings, like, and maybe like the state of my body, the state of my mind. And then like, if I'm arguing with someone, like this soundtrack can be switched to like a calm music, you know, like, or like some things, hey, this is not your enemy. This is your friend. You just like have miscommunication. Calm down. He loves you. You love him. So I want this type of things. And okay. And I'm like, cool. This is, potentially, this can be like a next unicorn in like 30 years. But what can I do today to achieve that in like in 20 years? And okay, there is AR wearables that, in my opinion, the biggest advantage of the AR wearables versus smartphones in terms of AR is that AR wearables will have access to your context 100% of time. When you use AR on your smartphone, it has access only when you launch this specific lens and like you point your camera to a specific place, right? When you have your AR glasses on you, it has access, it has cameras, it has like access to microphones. Again, sounds like really suspicious, you know, like, and I know that lots of people will be against this, but I feel that I mean, like, I'm that enthusiast that I would try this. At least I would try to understand like it does work at all or not. And if this device with the powered by like all camera vision technologies can understand and help me to with my well-being, I don't know, like with my stress, with my productivity, I would definitely be down for this. And that's why, okay so let's I cannot put my hands on brain chips right now, but I can put my hands on like AR wearables right now. If I cannot put my hands on the AR wearables, I can put my hands on smartphone and use, like, for example, I don't know, GPS coordinates to try to suggest like a music related to the space to the space and area where I am, just to explore new music. Which is also an issue for me. My playlist is like 10 years old and I cannot add any new music there. So yeah, my vision is a little bit far away than like 10 years. And again, is it like something that I can put on a paper right now? No, it's just like my dreams, you know, like I try to dream big about those things.
I like that answer. I think most people, when we ask that, they bring it in and talk about the next 3 to 5 years, not the next 20. So I like that angle on it. And this has been really good, Andrew. I think it's exciting to hear about, you know, Snap's commitment to AR and taking what in the successes that you're having in the consumer space and bridging into enterprise and education in the future. I think that's very exciting for everyone. If people want to find you, is LinkedIn the best place to connect with you?
Yeah, probably LinkedIn is the best place. I try to build network, of course, right now, and I try to share my expertise. And I see response from the people who are following me that they ask questions, they suggest some ideas, they get inspired, and that's probably the coolest thing.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thanks so much for taking some time with us today, Andrew. This has been fun, and we'll look forward to chatting. Maybe we'll catch you on those conferences, but we'll see you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I really like their approach, kind of the change in their approach from going broad to going deep and putting technology first. Like, let's start on the technology and all the content flow from that.
Yeah, Snap has kind of been on that for a while. It feels like other companies have come and gone and Snap keeps coming out with new technology. And I think that's interesting just to think about Snap as a technology first company, even though we think of them as a social media platform. We talked to so many enterprise use case type, you know, developers and companies, and obviously that's our everyday, but we're not on the consumer side. And so I was even looking at their website and I was thinking, man, an AR vending machine just is inherently way more sexy than what I get to talk about every day. And yeah, you should check out the website if you're listening still, although I'm sure nobody is, but, you know, yeah, it's pretty cool what they're doing. And I last thing I'll say is I do think it's important that, you know, new technology is fun. And I think that's part of how you get adoption. And I think that's true at a VR training program, just as much as it is, you know, for a consumer application. If you can make your training engaging and interesting and keep people, keep people excited about it, it's just going to go a lot farther. So,
absolutely. I mean, I think it's interesting, as much traction as we see with training and enterprise, there's still so many companies that have not gotten into it yet. And so there's definitely a really important role to be filled of just people becoming more familiar with the technology. And it is cool to see, like you said, you know, we call it competition, but there's enough work to do that having that competition feels super healthy. So, well, as always, we appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us, and make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and we'll look forward to catching you next time. Thanks.